If you abide in my word, you're my disciple, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Thus far, the reading of the text. Subjected to an oppressive government, feeling abandoned by their ruler, unfair taxes, freedom. What freedom? I'm talking about the Jews in Jesus' day, of course. The Jews were wanting a Jewish nation back. They were subjected to the Roman governing authorities, and they just wanted their king back, a Jewish king that would set up a Jewish nation to enact Jewish laws. They wanted to be free from this slavery, which is why they're so offended by this Jesus when he doesn't come to offer that. Jesus isn't concerned with this Roman authority situation. He talks about a different freedom. He says, if you abide in my word, you'll be my disciple and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I'm not concerned about your earthly kings. I want to lead you to a spiritual kingdom with a true king where you will have true freedom. This offended the Jews of Jesus' day. He wasn't the Messiah they were looking for. They had a false notion of who Jesus was. They thought Jesus would come back, the true Messiah would come back and overthrow these Roman authorities and set up his own nation. And so they start taking every angle they can to suppress the truth. They start backpedaling. What do you mean? We've never been enslaved to anyone, they say. Conveniently forgetting that they were enslaved to Egypt for 400 years. Conveniently forgetting that they were enslaved to a number of nations throughout their history. Conveniently forgetting that they were currently enslaved to the Roman authorities. They say, we've never been enslaved to anyone. They try to suppress the truth of this real Jesus. But they must have been talking about being enslaved to God, because they say they're children of Abraham. So Jesus cuts right to the heart of the matter. He says, anyone who sins is a slave to sin. So if the Son sets you free, you'll be free indeed. 499 years ago, October 31st, 1517, an Augustinian monk, a priest, a professor at Wittenberg named Martin Luther went to those Catholic church doors and nailed those 95 theses on the church doors for statements of public debate. He saw the church was growing larger out of step with the scriptural truths, with the real Jesus, and he wanted to reform the church. He saw a church that was twisting Jesus' own words to suit their own passions. And it wasn't just the church. Luther looked around at the Christians around him and saw a lot of Christians who were just Christian by name. It was a convenient label. Most Christians in his day didn't abide in God's word. If you abide in my word, you're my disciple, you'll know the truth, the truth will set you free. They weren't abiding in his word. It's hard to do when you never hear it. In Luther's day, people didn't have the Bible at home. You couldn't read it for yourself. You'd have to go to the church. And the church was the only ones who could read it to you, and they would read it to you in Latin, a language that you didn't understand. It's hard to abide in his word when you never hear it. And so therefore, most weren't disciples of Christ. Most weren't following Jesus. They were following their own works into monasteries, into convents. They were following their own good works and following in lines to purchase indulgences. And therefore, because they didn't abide in his word and they weren't followers of Jesus, most Christians just simply didn't know the truth. They didn't know that God loved them, that he had made justification and salvation possible freely by God's grace through his son Jesus. And therefore, most Christians had a false notion of who Jesus really was. And they were offended by him. They saw Jesus as some wrathful judge who lived for the last day so that he could hold you up and look at your unrighteousness and compare you to his righteousness and torment you into the eternal flame forever, unless he had a little bit of mercy where he could give you a few thousand years in purgatory to work out some of your unrighteousness. Most Christians were offended by him, this false Jesus, and the church seem to capitalize on this by suppressing the truth. You offended by this Jesus? Well, for every coin in a coffer that rings, a soul from purgatory will spring here. Buy this piece of paper, an indulgence, and you'll have forgiveness of sins. Go ahead and purchase a mass for the sake of your dead aunt or uncle, and you'll release them from purgatory. Go on this pilgrimage and make satisfaction for some of your sins, and don't forget to put a few more coins in the bucket for our new church that we're building. If you abide in my word, you're my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. I was baptized in a Roman Catholic church. Beautiful congregation. And I was raised in the Lutheran church, and I went to a Baptist university for my schooling. I know. But I didn't really know what Lutheranism was when I went to the Baptist university. You know, I grew up in the Lutheran church. I was catechized and confirmed in the Lutheran church. I was very active throughout all high school, but I didn't really know the gift that we have in Lutheranism. I didn't really know what Lutheran doctrine was until I learned what Baptist doctrine was. And the first 2 years of college, there were a lot of restless nights for me that drove me again and again and again to the Word. Why do we believe what we believe? Why do we confess what we confess? Why do we do what we do? I had all these questions, and I always went to the Word. And it was about 2 years in of my schooling that I finally started to know and appreciate what Lutheranism was all about. And I actually started to take joy in sharing that with others. The gift that we have in the Lutheran church. I'd talk to my classmates. I'd even talk to some of my professors. And I had one professor who I absolutely adore. A rock solid believer. He was such a wonderful influence. And we would share in humility and in love our differences as we were both Christian, trying to follow Jesus. And I love this professor, a wonderful Baptist Christian. And a month before I graduated, he pulled me aside. He said, "Jesse, I want you to know that Lutheranism is the best kept secret in America." I grinned from ear to ear and kind of nodded along. Although it was kind of a backhanded compliment because it's a secret. We have such a great gift, but yeah, we do tend to keep it to ourselves and not share it with others. But Lutheranism is a wonderful gift, not because of anything that we possess, but solely because of who we point to so clearly for the world to see. We point to God's Son, and that you are saved by God's grace alone. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. You are justified by God's grace alone. It's a gift. It's not by what you do, and it's not by what you fail to do. It's all a gift. It's undeserved mercy. That's the point. It's grace. It's a gift given to you freely in Jesus Christ, and that you are justified by faith alone in Christ alone, for we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. It's not by 1,000 indulgences that you purchase or 1,000 good works. It's not by one good. It's not by anything that you do, but solely by faith. By faith alone in Christ you are justified, and that the word alone is the only source of truth. If you abide in my word, you are my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. We do have a wonderful gift in the Lutheran faith because of who we point to so clearly. But Lutheranism is not the best kept secret in America. My professor was wrong. The best kept secret in America is Jesus. The real Jesus. People don't know him anymore. They're offended by these false Jesuses. They don't know him. And we've taken so many angles to suppress his truth. We've propped him up for the sake of earthly kingdoms. We've used his mouth like a puppet to support falsehood. We've twisted his words to suit our own passions. We use his forgiveness and his grace as an excuse to sin more. We get Jesus wrong 1,000 times a day. And what do we see? But millions and millions of people who don't know him. Who don't know the real Jesus, and they have to know him. They have to be told about him. They have to know that their sin is real and that it's a wicked master. And they have to know about Jesus, the one who came and lived a perfect life. The one who died on that cross on Calvary's Hill, the one who raised from the dead, the one who's ascended and reigns as king, and the one who has promised to come back. They have to know about Jesus, but that's not even enough. It's not enough just to know him. They have to know that he did it for them, that he did it for you. That every step on this earth was out of love and mercy for you. He did it for you, for them. Every drop of blood he shed was for you. And when he was raised from the dead, he was raised from the dead for your grave, so that you don't even have to fear death anymore. And when he comes back, he's coming back for you. Because everything this world has to offer that isn't God's Son will never make you free. If you abide in my word, you're my disciple, and you'll know the truth. You'll know Jesus. You'll know God's Son and the truth. God's Son, Jesus, will set you free. So if the Son, if he sets you free, you're free indeed. Freed from your past mistakes. Freed from what others think of you. You're free from God's judgment. You're free from the grave. So never depart from him. Abide in his word, and you'll be his disciple, and you'll know the truth. And the truth, God's Son, has set you free. Amen.